Hear again the word of the Lord. Behold, I am making all things new. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Sin separates. It isolates. It works hard to keep you lonely and alone. Think back to the Garden of Eden, when the world was new, and all was good in the sight of God. It was, in fact, very good. The Lord had created Adam as a perfect man, and he had announced, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so he created Eve and brought her to the man. Now they were together, created to serve each other. He told them to be fruitful and multiply, to have children and thus increase the number of people together. And all the while, the Lord was there too, because there was no sin. He could walk with his people in the garden. There was no separation, no isolation, no sin. And what was the first thing to happen when Adam and Eve fell into sin? Well, they heard God approaching, and they hid from him. They were separated from God. When God questioned him, Adam immediately placed the blame on the woman whom God had given him. They were no longer a team, but she was his fall guy. And while they'd still be husband and wife, they would no longer be working hard to serve each other. Rather, thanks to sin, they would have an adversarial relationship. Eve would desire to control her husband, even as he would seek to rule over her. They'd never be as together, as one, as unified as they had been before sin. And so it is now, down to today. But that, of course, was just the beginning. As the Lord listed the consequences of sin, he told Adam what his lonely end would be. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Sin is even now at work to reduce you to dust. There is nothing more isolating in this world than the grave. And between now and the grave, sin is hard at work. In a world where friendship and companionship are of high value, there are so many sins that can destroy that bond. Consider pride. It persuades you that you're a step above everyone else. It leaves you perplexed when people disagree with you. It convinces you that they're just jealous. They're not worth your time. There you are, above the rest, all alone. Consider greed. It argues that things are more important than people. And so you're willing to place your earning potential and the latest toys over serving the people around you. That's a good recipe for loneliness. In many relationships, it's a bit of a paradox, really. In many relationships, people fear loneliness. They fear it enough that they aren't willing to risk investing too much time in serving each other. They look out for themselves, but that selfishness, it erodes the relationship until we're back to loneliness because we've alienated our friends. Finally, consider lust, the wandering from the marriage bed that destroys many marriages and sometimes even destroys the health of one or both, and leads to an early grave. Did we mention sin attacks your health as well as your relationships? Mobility and energy are good. They enable us to move around, to work, to play, to visit others. What do disease and injury do? They cripple people. They make them slow. They leave people shut in, homebound, alone, forgotten. This, too, is the isolating effects of sin. But all the things I've described so far, that's really just the small stuff. I don't mean to diminish it. It's certainly quite a lot of suffering and terrible. But you see, sin's real goal is not just your isolation from people and your physical death. It also seeks your eternal death. Eternal separation from God and His gifts and the life that He alone can give. Separation from God for all eternity is hell. Sin isolates. You know it. You feel it. St. John felt it also. He wrote this letter, the Revelation, while he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos. He was exiled there for his faith. He was separated from the Christians to whom he wrote this book. The Christians on the mainland, they weren't faring much better either. They were also alone, maybe even nearly forsaken, as they suffered persecution for the faith. Though ages apart, it's still the same sinful world that we live in, the same one that John and Adam and Eve dwelt in. You've got the same sinful nature, and you know the same suffering. Sometimes it's because of sins that you yourself have committed. Sometimes you're a victim of someone else's sin. And sometimes it's just life in a dying world. Whatever the cause, that's the reason for the sorrow and crying, for the pain and the tears. You know that you can't undo it. You can't turn back the clock, change your decisions, call for a mulligan. None of it. No matter how much you'd like to. If only you could just get back to the Garden of Eden again. If only you could start anew. Jesus says to us today, "Behold, I am making all things new." That's what our Lord declares to us from His throne in our reading this morning. New. Not just a fresh copy of the same old things, but completely new. And completely good. The Garden of Eden was great and very good. And now we have that same goodness and innocence. Jesus has paid the full price to make things new. He has reversed the curse that Adam's sin brought to us. Jesus Christ, the true God from eternity, has become flesh and dwelt among us. He has lived the perfect, sinless life on our behalf. And as He suffered the judgment for all the sins of the whole world on the cross, that's the whole purpose for which He came, to make all things new. What did He cry out from the cross again? My God, why have You forsaken Me?" There in that anguished cry, Jesus declares, sin has separated Him and isolated Him from His Father's love. Jesus Christ was one with His Father from all eternity, a relationship unmarred by sin. But what happened at the cross as Jesus suffered for the sins of the whole world was that He was forsaken, abandoned by God because of our sin. He suffered the ultimate isolation that sin brings about. And on the cross, He suffered hell before He died and was laid in that lonely grave. But He suffered hell. He was forsaken, and He lay in that grave for you. He rose again to announce this miracle of miracles. He has defeated sin and death and hell. Where sin sought to reduce you to dust and to leave you in the grave, Jesus has conquered sin. He has risen from the grave. And He declares to you today, "Behold, I am making all things new." Jesus makes all things new. He promises a new heaven and a new earth, one in which there is no sin. If there is no sin, there is also no death. If there is no sin, there is no isolation and separation. In fact, God dwells with his people in glory once again, just like in the Garden of Eden. And if there is no sin, there is no more sorrow or tears, for there is nothing left to cause sorrow or crying. If there is no sin, there is no pain. These are the old things, the former things, that John says has passed away. And they have no place when Jesus makes all things new. This was a comfort to John, who was exiled on the island. And I imagine he rejoiced to look forward to the time when no sea would separate him from the church. It was good news for those Christians to whom he wrote, the assurance that suffering and persecution would come to an end. It is likewise good news for you. The devil will use the sufferings and wages of sin to convince you that God is not faithful, that this life is all there is, that you're sentenced to the very same old thing of living and suffering and dying. But it is not so. The Lord declares today that by his death and by his resurrection, he makes all things new. And his word is faithful and true. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, cling to Christ's sure promises. Where you are guilty of sin, do not seek to justify yourself or to excuse the sin. Rejoice that Christ has made you new, that he has set you free from sin. Set free to live a repentant life in anticipation of the day when he raises you from the dead in a sinless body. When you must suffer at the hands of others, give thanks that you do not suffer at the hand of God. And give thanks that he, Jesus Christ, has suffered for you. Pray for your enemies that they may be made new as well. And when you suffer the old afflictions of this dying world, rejoice that this world is not the end. For by his death and resurrection, Christ has made all things new. And in the meantime, until you see this in the new creation, you know that your Savior is not far away. He visits you by his holy word. He has made you his, a new creation in the waters of holy baptism. He continues to give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. By these means of grace, he shares his victory with you. You cannot see him now in glory because of your sin, but Jesus is not far off. He is with you to the end of the age, when he will make all things new, as he has promised. And by his grace, he has made you new already. He has made you his own child and declared you to be declared himself to be your God. The new creation is yours now, because this word is faithful and true. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And all of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.